Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at a passage of Scripture found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 25 through 27, which speaks of Jesus presenting to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such blemish, that this is the work of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of fivefold ministry as expressed in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, that we are equipped by the Ascension Gift Ministries, pastor, evangelist, teacher, apostle, prophet, until we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And on yesterday's broadcast, I gave some references in 1 Peter and 2 Peter that were to be found in Jesus in peace without spot or blemish. And so I thought it would be beneficial for us to understand what the Word has to say and suggest as to what a spot or stain or a wrinkle is. And we were just getting into that as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close. So just by way of review and definition, let me give you what that word spot means. By definition, it's a small area visibly different, as in color, finish, or material. It's different from the surrounding area because it's an area that is marred or marked as by dirt. Now, probably I'm going to get the attention of most of the ladies because, well, that if you're a man and you're by yourself, then you can relate as well. But we might give the analogy of a laundry. There are all kinds of spot removers out there, spot or pre-treaters, if you will, for various spots that we can have on our clothing. And a spot is something that would be on the surface, generally easy to remove. It's a blemish as opposed to a scar or something deeper in the fabric. What would be an example? Dust. Have you ever knelt down, perhaps to do a particular chore, and you had slacks on and there was dust, so you just brushed off that dust and you were back to the way you looked before? Or perhaps if you've got pets, I'm sure you've probably used a pet brush or a roller to remove the spots, if you will, those visible things that mar the surface. And in James, the 1st chapter, verse 27, it talks about pure religion and undefiled is to take care of the widows and the orphans and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So I was suggesting to you that the spot that the Scriptures talk about having being spotted is being tarnished or being contaminated, if you will, by the world and its mentality. We fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're not to be conformed to this world. Isn't that what the Scriptures tell us? But to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, the world, just by way of review, it refers to ungenerate humanity. The world itself, as far as the physical earth, it's moaning and groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But it's God's creation, and even in its fallen state, it's been affected by the curse. But it's still so exquisitely beautiful. It's imperfect but beautiful reminder of how glorious the world will be when Jesus returns, when he'll remove the effects of the curse, and there won't be war, and there won't be famine, and there won't be heartache, but Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. The word tells us in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And of course, this refers not to the physical creation, but the things that refer to unregenerate humanity. That's what I was telling you the world refers to. And the worldliness, if you will, of the natural man leads to a rejection of the gospel. There is a passage found in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and this is a parable that Jesus gave. He spoke about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Isn't that evident? You know, the father is preparing a marriage for Jesus to the bride of Christ, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But this is an example of the unsaved, the sinner. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up the city. That is what is going to happen for the unrepentant when Jesus returns. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Praise God. And so there were those who were, you know, those who were originally invited, they found excuses. They found the things of this world more appealing. And it's that wasn't the master's, the father's desire. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But they chose the things of the world. They love the things of this world. Beloved, the spirit of the world rejects Christ. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 42, the word talks about chief rulers who believed on him. But listen to this. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's a dangerous place to be in, because the word also says, if you won't confess me, Jesus said, before men, he won't confess us before his Father in heaven. Worldliness leads to moral insensibility. It deadens the conscience. Isaiah 22 and 13 says, in that day did the Lord God call for weeping and mourning. And there that scripture says, and behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. This is Isaiah, was the prophet speaking to the people of God. And they were just enjoying the things of the world. They were being seduced by the pagan religions around them, and they were becoming just like the world. Beloved, that is the unfortunate thing that is happening today. It's affecting Christians. And unless we are walking in humility and repentance of heart to our God, it's possible, beloved, for us to be influenced. I know just in the last several days, I've talked with some friends, and they've related instances, people that they know who, quote-unquote, are Christian. They name the name of the Lord in their hearts. They're following God, but they are tolerant of sin, that which is condemned by the Word of God. People that are living with one another, unmarried, those who are caught up in pornography, into drug addiction, they don't see any problem with that. In fact, that is the thrust of the world today. It is so deceptive. You know, we just need to be loving. That's what religion tells us. Isn't that right? We're to be tolerant. I remember a relative gave me a book called The Children Are Free, and it was basically an apology for the homosexual lifestyle. And basically, it said that the reason God was opposed to homosexuality under the Old Covenant, he was very clear on that, is because that practice was associated with idolatry. But if today we are serving and acknowledging the God of the Bible, well, he is not against someone that has a lifelong commitment, even if it's someone of the opposite sex. Do you see how deluded and how deceived people can be, all, quote, in the name of love and tolerance? We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to hear what the Word of God is saying. The Word of God is very clear. God is the judge. We are simply to present the truth, and every person makes that choice. But, beloved, worldliness leads to death. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Praise God. Well, I'm going to share some scriptures tomorrow as we continue on with this, but I'd like to just pause in the teaching as we will carry on tomorrow. But I'd like to make a special offer to those listening. Some of you have listened for many years. You've never written. Those of you who are on the mailing list know that I'm making this available. But for the general listening audience, we've been in ministry, full-time ministry, for 50 years. This is our Jubilee year, 50 years of continuous ministry. And in 1965, we also began radio broadcasting, daily radio broadcasting since that time. A lady came up to Brother Glass when he began that first week of Unveil Christ Ministry. She gave him $50 and said, "Brother Glass, the Lord says you're supposed to be on radio." So he went on radio, and we've been on ever since. Anyway, I have worked diligently to comprise, not a complete, but just a general history of the ministry in a very nice professionally printed booklet, the 50th Jubilee Anniversary Commemorative Booklet, and also have made available on the website as well as in CD format for those that don't have internet, the Ministry Classic CD, The Ministry of My Late Husband, Reverend Neil Glass, in Song and Radio Broadcast. And if you would like that, I'd like that to make that gift available to you. The announcer will give our contact information. And also, if you have prayer requests, I invite you to enclose them as well. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll continue tomorrow. God bless you. I love you. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.